It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
I'm Andy Velasquez. You can find me in most games as The Squez, and that's how I'll be on the Neverwinter forums as well. And I'm the lead producer of the Neverwinter Project here at Cryptic Studios.
Hi, this is Ben, a.k.a. Roan of the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
Justin here, DM from the Realms of Trinity and a member of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
This is Doug, a.k.a. Cell from the Realms of Trinity.
And this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian from the Neverwinter Nights Podcast and the Realms of Trinity. And you're listening to the 164th episode of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games and the upcoming MMO from Cryptic, Neverwinter. Well, today we got an excellent interview, great producer of the new Cryptic product, Neverwinter, coming out soon. Well, not real soon, but, you know, in retrospective terms. And he's going to join us tonight for a great interview, talking about a lot of different things about the awesome efforts that they have going on over at Cryptic Studios, and it's just very exciting. So first of all, Andy, thank you for coming on the show.
Sure, it's my pleasure, guys.
Yeah, it's an absolute honor to have you on. I know we've been, you know, chomping at the bit to try to get involved. Yeah, Shane Hensley's had us last year when we first met him and talked with him. He had us rolling for the new project, so I was, you know, very glad to continue that relationship all the way to the point where it's at now, when we get you guys to come on the show and, you know, help tell everybody what's going on out there.
Sure. It's funny that you mentioned Shane, too, because I, you know, when we set up this interview, I went out to your website real fast to check it out, and I saw Shane's face then. I was like, it's the first time I'd seen him since he left Cryptic. I ended up sending an email like, oh, I saw you on the Neverwinter Nights podcast. How you doing?
Yep. Yeah, he's been awesome, and he came back on just recently for another interview, you know, talking about his Pinnacle work and different things like that. So he's a great guy, and, you know, we enjoy to be able to talk to individuals talented such as he and such as yourself. But yeah, thanks again for coming on. And just to get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, how you came to the Neverwinter Project, and, you know, is there anything else you'd like to add, as personal as you'd like?
Sure. Well, I have a dog and a cat. No. It's going to be a long one, guys.
Get prepared. That's all right. That's all right.
No, so I've been at Cryptic now for about 4 years. I joined as a producer right when Star Trek was getting off the ground. So I think I was employee like 5 or 6 on the Star Trek project. And that was a really, really awesome experience. The things that we did with that project and that team and the amount of time was truly insane and really, really cool. And then after that project shipped, I joined Neverwinter maybe about 2 years ago, and then since then I've just been the lead producer on the project.
That's awesome. So yeah, you've been doing a lot of actual development work. You actually do a lot of the programming, or are you more of a 3D, or you do a little bit of everything?
So as a producer, I'm mainly managing a lot of our developers. So we have, you know, our software engineers, 3D character modelers, environment modelers, and textures and things like that. I'm managing kind of the process of how we make the game, setting up our milestones and our deliverables, working out logistics for things like our big shows and you know, conversations like this. That's my whole purview.
That's very cool.
So the joy is a project management.
Yeah, and the funny thing about games, there's not necessarily like a standard nomenclature for positions. So, you know, production or you know, we're called project managers at other places, producers, product managers, or game directors, things like that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Can you tell us a little bit about the overall story backdrop of the campaign?
Sure. So what this is actually one of the things that we get to geek out on the most, because we, you know, this is one of the things that we get to tie in so heavily with, you know, our partners at Wizards of the Coast with. Mainly it's about the city of Neverwinter. Obviously has had the spell plague came and wiped out, like, you know, most of the world of Faerun, or maybe not wiped out, but, you know, it devastated tons and tons of stuff. But Neverwinter emerged pretty much unscathed until Hohtnau exploded, the nearby volcano, and that just wiped out the city. So the city's being rebuilt currently, and Lord Neverember from Waterdeep has come in and basically put out a call to all adventurers saying, you know, come to the Neverwinter, come to the new Neverwinter that I'm trying to rebuild, and help me reclaim its former title of the Jewel of the North. So that's kind of that entry point that all new players will get to see. And you know, they'll start as this adventure coming into the city, that this once fantastic and great city that's been recently decimated and is being rebuilt. And so that's where they'll come in, and you'll start, you know, kind of dealing with all of the different major players that are in Neverwinter at that point. Like the Gnashers are running around causing some shenanigans. The Valindra, who's a lich from Thay, is up to no good with the Castle Never and all that. So those are the major players that are happening there. And you'll see, you know, that's kind of the backbone of the story, but you'll also go in and out of the various places around the Neverwinter City itself. So, for example, the place that we just announced at E3 was The Lost, which is a part of the Neverwinter Woods, but you'll go out there and it has its own storyline with the Uthgard Bardiel, with the Netherese that gave them all kind of access to the shadow magic. So while you're pursuing that kind of larger storyline with Valindra and the crown and what's happening with the city of Neverwinter itself, you also have these sub stories for all these different adventure zones that we're taking you to.
Now, you mentioned that you were in using in conjunction with Wizards of the Coast and a lot of the lore. Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to follow like some of the story plots that are in the books, you know, like Elminster going around to the different cities trying to take the a lot of the more powerful magic items to keep his spell power, like that kind of line?
So specifically, which one of the main storylines that were?
Well, any of them. There's a lot of in the new books about, you know, the spell plague and, you know, what happened in that. Are you guys going to incorporate any of that into the future? Where,
oh, for sure. Yeah, and that's where I get to say we get to geek out on it, because we sent you know, all of those things that I just mentioned. Valindra, who's this lich, she's in the source book for the Neverwinter campaign guide. If you've read it, and so you. You know, we get to expand a little bit upon that framework that they've set up there for all of these characters. Neverember is a big part of just the first, you know, setting up a game in the Neverwinter, you know, that little blurb in the Neverwinter campaign guide. Neverember features prominently there, and we get to tell a story with him and what's going on in the city. So it's really, really sweet working with them, because then we also get to tap into other ancillary products too. I mean, like Salvatore is writing stories you know, in and around our timeline, and we get to take on those effects as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. I mean, I eat that stuff up, and a lot of the players on our server do, because we try to incorporate a lot of the lore from that in our server. I mean, obviously, you can't do too much. I mean, we want to have our own flavor on it, but, you know, you bring in those here and there and, you know, different things, and, you know, the PCs that are really into the core books, you know, when they're coming in, it sounds like they're really gonna see that, which is always nice when you see one of the big tag characters coming in. You know, oh my God, you know, there's Elminster. You know, hey.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool too, because I have a weekly phone call actually that happened on Tuesdays with Wizards, and we say, hey, for this zone or for this part of the game, we're gonna be doing these sorts of things. Do you have any cool tie-ins we can do? And it'll for this book we're doing this, so that would be a fantastic tie-in here. Or, you know, for this artist is doing this series of things, so if you want to incorporate things like that, then this would be a great tie in there. So we're constantly doing things like that.
Yeah, I like that. That's awesome that you get. That's awesome you get a chance to actually do that. I mean, that's great.
The thing that you know is very fortunate for us is we've proven with kind of the quality of our art, the quality of our design, that they've started to incorporate things the other way too. So I keep mentioning Valindra because she's one of our major villains, but you know, they love the art that we've done for her, and so now when an artist or a writer is going to tell a story about her, they actually send her our art and say, like, hey, this is, we like this take on Valindra. Like, what do you think about this one?
Oh, same. Heck yeah. Yeah,
that's cool.
Oh, yeah. The stuff that you've done so far, I mean, I can't stress enough, you know, just working with Tyler from the Perfect World, handing off a lot of the assets for, you know, redesign, things like that. I mean, it's just amazing some of the stuff that you've been able to render and, you know, actually get out there for the product. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much. It's really great hearing that, because for a long time, you know, we've been very quiet about the game intentionally. We wanted to just kind of like
right.
focus on work, making the game, and then we'll have plenty of time to show it externally. But you kind of get anxious when you do that, right? You want to, like, oh, I hope people
see. Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, you know, 100%.
So to see, you know, now to finally be out there and be getting the feedback like you've just said, it feels really good. So thank you, guys.
Anytime.
Speaking of the rendering and all the visuals, looking at what you guys have released, you know, before and since E3, and the visuals really are looking more and more amazing as time's going on. Mm. What type of system are you guys looking at running it on?
System like the end users, min-spec and things like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so for that, we haven't officially announced it. So I won't be able to give you too many details, but one of the things, you know, kind of a hallmark of free-to-play games is making sure it's widely accessible. So we're paying a lot of attention to, you know, making sure we get that low end as low as we can. And that doesn't mean that you won't have, if you have a really beefed up rig, you will have an amazing visual experience, but we're really dedicated to making sure that it runs and that core gameplay feel, that moment to moment, isn't sacrificed when you're playing on the lower end. So we'll be announcing as we get closer to launch what the actual min spec is and what the recommended spec is, but that is at least kind of the stance we're taking on it, right? We want to offer, you know, a good high-end experience so that it looks good, and hopefully you guys have seen those screens and you seem to agree, but really trying to support that low end as well, because not everyone has the money or the inclination to go out and get, like, the biggest machine out there.
Well, that's big, too, because, like, when they released Neverwinter Nights 2, they didn't tell anybody that they were going to support, like, dual processors right at the beginning, and then you had a word text that come up later, and it's like, oh, I can't even play the game yet until the patch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was something we had when we first talked to Shane about last year. I mean, that was something that I was very glad to hear about, the way you were approaching the development of this, to be actually taking those things into account. Because as you see, I mean, if you look at the numbers, you know, now that we're 6 years past the release of the, like, I want to clarify, different franchise totally, but Neverwinter Nights 2, you know, you've seen how bad, I mean, how much less of a response it got compared to Neverwinter Nights 1 did at first because of all the performance issues. So yeah. The fact that you're totally taking that into account is ridiculously awesome. You know what I mean? It's only going to turn into a great start. I mean, that's great to hear.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, for us as creative types, like, we don't want to necessarily limit our audience. We want to have as many people cut in and appreciate the game as we can. So, you know, it just kind of makes sense for us. It seems like common sense, at least.
It seems like it. You would think so.
Yeah.
Well, you know, getting on to the next question, one of the things I've been, you know, wondering about too, and I think a lot of people, we've been getting a lot of questions ourselves about it, is, you know, I noticed on the PlayNeverWinter.com website that you can sign up for beta testing.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the beta and what it will have?
It will have the game of Neverwinter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're not really publicly talking about all of our beta stuff right now. It's, you know, if you keep checking back, probably over the summer you'll have some more finite information. But at this point, we're not really releasing too much about it.
Okay, that's totally fair. I just, you know, just was getting it out there.
That's all you can do, right?
That's right.
Do you have, like, an estimated time that the beta will start?
I know when it's going to start.
You just can't say?
Yeah, we're keep checking back on the website. You'll see it.
Don't worry. We'll have auto refresh. I mean, like, have, like, a little finger that keeps hitting the F5 key on the keyboard.
In your switch from an RPG to an MMO, how do you think that it added to the Neverwinter product?
I think everyone on the team was very, very excited, not because we were changing from an RPG to an MMO, but just because we were given the time and resources to really make the game that we wanted to make, and we as a studio are good at making. You know, we've made a bunch of MMOs here, and we're good at dealing with that type of content. And so giving ourselves more time and resources to develop something that's more in our wheelhouse has definitely led to a better end product's kind of a lie, because I'm not even done with it. But, you know, the game as a whole is kind of improved because of it. And it's weird, like, when we're developing, it's not so much of a change, really. because, you know, we have this giant bucket of things that we want to do. And then based on our time and resources, we scoped that down, and it ended up being a cooperative RPG based on our previous deadlines. And then as we, you know, once we found that we were acquired by Perfect World and we got the time for development extended, we kind of just look back at that bucket and say, okay, well, what else can we add back in? And then it becomes an MMO and it becomes a few other things, but it's never like a drastic change of direction. It's not like we threw out everything. All of that single player content, or I'm sorry, the co-op content still exists as instances in our game. And it's just getting to add back in more of those features that we thought were going to be really cool in the beginning anyways.
That's refreshing to hear, because you hate when things get rushed out. And it's nice to know that, you know, you were given the time and the resources to actually put it into the game through the PC experience.
Well, it is, you know, the gift and the curse of getting to do this for a living is, you know, you get to enjoy these creative pursuits of making games, and it's this cool dream. But the reality is you always have these deadlines and all this other stuff that you're trying to fight against. And so you're absolutely right. Like, getting that extension and getting the support to really be able to deliver on the product that we thought would be successful in the first place, it feels really good. And then that, you know, in turn recharges the team and gets everyone all pumped and moving towards this one direction. And like I said, I think the press that have played it at the various events that we've recently been to can feel that difference and feel that change. And so it's refreshing for us as well.
If you don't mind telling us, what is your favorite thing of this project thus far? Or perhaps the favorite thing of a project you're allowed to talk about thus far?
So in terms of the game feature or just working on this project? Or I guess maybe either?
Either or both. Fair words.
It's unfortunately, we haven't announced my favorite feature yet. So of the things that we've announced, I think, you know, our take on action combat easily is the thing that is most, I find most enjoyable in the moment-to-moment, right? I play a lot of MMOs, and it's always the meta goal is what drives me forward, and doing quests is just annoying, but it gets me to that end product, right? Gets me to that factory, or gets me to that piece of gear that really I wanted because it looked cool, what have you. And we will have those things in our game. You know, we're still trying to support that, but we really set out to have, you know, that moment-to-moment experience of doing those things be very fun and an enjoyable experience. And I think we've done a good job at doing that. You know, we play test this game every day, and we still like have a lot of fun giggling and laughing when we do cool things, and we get in the gameplay room and have a lot of fun with it. So I think it's a testament to that, you know, having just sat down and played this game for month after month after month, we still enjoy it. Has a lot to do with that combat system. So we're very excited to let people sit down and play with that. And so that's probably my favorite thing that we've talked about so far.
Yeah, I just from the coverage at, I think it was PAX. I think that's where I was watching on YouTube some of the video coverage of the combat system. Mm-hmm. And that was hair-raising to see that level of, you know, detail into the combat and the fact that, I mean, there's just so much into it. I mean, I think that is something that really adds to the experience a ton.
Yeah.
Yep. Especially since you're going for more of an action feel. And that is certainly going to be beefy when it comes down to, you know, people getting on there being very excited about that and actually feeling like they're in the thick of a battle, or they're actually in the thick of combat or whatever they might be in.
Yeah, and this is what I mean. Like, when I play pen and paper Dungeons and Dragons, you know, even though you're just statically moving your little pieces on the board, like, in my mind, crazy, you know. But like, I played, for example, in my most recent game, I was this druid, and I just kept like I can't remember the name of the power, just the basic like shape change into animal power. I was like turning as this bird and moving around and becoming this cat, and that feeling I think is lost in traditional MMO combat systems, right? You're just like 1, 2, 3 action bar, and your guy does some cool like some animations, but it doesn't feel like what's happening in my head when I play pen and paper. And so I get a lot closer to that feeling when I play our game, because you actually dodge out of the way and then you line up these skill shots and you make them, and it feels good. So I'm very happy that, you know, it's getting closer to that imaginary epicness that's happening when I play pen and paper.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's something that gets lost. I mean, I know that, you know, in other games, you know, talking about what we're most familiar with was Neverwinter 2. I mean, I know that I think something they did a lot of improvements, but at the same time, I mean, we had to actually do a lot of crap ourselves. You know, I edited that one myself. So bovine excrement we've had to do to, you know, to actually increase that effect, like to make it feel like what you're saying, like what you think of in your head.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what's great. Another thing that just goes to show you, show everybody who listens to this, how much you guys are putting into this. You know, you're putting your hearts and souls into making this, you know, something that's going to be heads over heels better than anything that's been produced before. You know, that's a big thing when you're building a game that's, you know, be out there in the world with other games. I mean, I think that that's one way you stand apart from everybody else is the type of stuff you put into it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Just another, this is a question that pops into my mind, you know, because it's from our angle, but, you know, obviously from your angle, just to give people an understanding of how stuff's being created. So do you have, to when you're making this, when you're actually making game content, do you, have you had like a tool set created that, you know, that actual developer level people are using to create this, or is it more or less you got the master build and you're just continuously in a continual build process to add to it?
We have our own tool set. We use the Cryptic engine. To develop this game. That's what, you know, it's a proprietary engine. It's a seasoned MMO engine. So when our designers need to create missions or critters, we have, you know, a powers editor, a map editor, all those things. And so that's what we get in there and develop with.
That's exactly what I was asking. Exactly what I was asking. Yeah, that's, well, the big thing is that, you know, I think that, you know, we talk about user content generation. I think that, you know, everybody, well, the people that listen to this are going to, you know, they think of something like that because they're familiar with what they've been using for so long that, you know, about the, we're not going to talk about it now, as I know it's kind of, it's a little bit ways off yet, but the Foundry and stuff like that and what it's going to tell. And, you know, I really think that's something else that's very exciting. And, you know, down the road, you know, as that gets closer to a point where we could talk about it more, I'd love to have a conversation about that at some point as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, that's kind of your guys' heart and soul, I think, from right?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, we've mastered the tool sets of the, you know, obviously totally different. You know, they were in Electron tool sets, you know, we've blown the doors off them and, you know, pushing their limits. But, you know, I guess that's what excites us. You know, we hear that you guys have this Cryptic, you know, I know it's proprietary, but it's just awesome to know that you're behind the scenes cracking out content in a powerful tool like that. That's just makes us... Yeah. Puffed up.
It makes me want to get in there and use it.
Yeah, but yeah, that's awesome though.
Well, yeah, it's like you said, we haven't announced much about the Foundry yet. But the one thing that you know, that we have been pretty open about talking is that is our approach, similar to like kind of our hardware specs, right? We're talking about how we're approaching the Foundry. And I've used the Aura tool set a little bit here and there. I've used the StarCraft map tools a little bit. And those things are always crazy powerful, but the barrier for entry is so, so high, because even to figure out how to see other people's content, you have to go to a forum or, you know, go to one of your guys' website and then find out where you need to download things and folders to put them in. And it's all just really... It's really, really powerful once you get into it, but the barrier for entry is really high. So we're trying to – our approach to dealing with the Foundry and people getting in and creating content with us for the Neverwinter project is accessibility. So to get into it, you're not running a separate executable. It's, you know, straight from the Neverwinter game. You'll log in, and there'll just be a button that goes to the creation tool set. Mm-hmm. You're still there, and you're chatting. You're logged in. You can find your friends and when you're working on your game, they could be playing and you're just chatting away with them. So really getting it easier to get into and then easier to use, so that the power will still be there for, you know, people like yourselves who are the power users and who create that really awesome content. But also trying to lower that bar so we can have more people to get in there and get really pumped and become the use in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, that's definitely the right, a great approach. Is I could tell you, you know, in our 4 years of in this endeavor, you know, it has been difficult to, you know, get a lot of people involved in the development of the custom content because, just like you said, the steep level of, you know, learning curve, you know, and for this to be that your focus to, like you said, bring the bar down to more accessibility and getting more people involved, I think that's just only going to be wildfire to the community, because there's a lot of people who would love to get their hands on and build content, but they can't do it because it's just over their head. They don't know how to program, you know, they don't know how to do scripting, they don't know C language, and, you know, that's just, to them, that's, you know, over top their head, you know, this is something that I really think that's going to be the barn burner as far as what's going to get people involved.
That's also one of the things that we found too, is once we, we're not done yet, but as we started lowering that bar, people who aren't traditionally content creators find themselves getting and enjoying it. Like for myself, I have never been a big fan personally of creating my own content in other people's games. But with our Foundry toolset, I spent an entire lunch, last Friday actually, my entire lunch hour spent making mission, and then I got like really invested in it because the tools were easy enough for me to get in there and mess around with it. And yep. So, we've got a lot of work still to do, but it's...
Oh, I'm a programmer by day myself, and I don't even want to think of the horrible stuff you have to do to make that happen. So I'm not even going to, God bless your souls. Working on that endeavor. Yeah.
Now, I saw a sneak peek at some of the several character classes and races that are going to be revealed in the game. How many are you guys going to release at the launch?
Yeah, so, probably one of our most frequently asked questions, but we're being pretty tight-lipped about that, mostly because we really want to blow out the release of each of the classes. So, as the months go by, we'll do little, segments like introducing the control wizard and things like that. So you'll see a lot more information where that class build is specifically highlighted. What we have announced so far are... the Control Wizard, the Trickster Rogue, and the Guardian Fighter as the three classes that we've announced. In terms of races, I think we've announced like something like seven. Humans, dwarves, tiefling, drow, half-elves, elves. So quite a few. But expect, that's one of the cool things about working with D&D is you just get to open up the player's handbook. You're like, well, I want that one and that one and that one. Cool, let's go do that. And so we'll announce more as we get closer to launch. And being an MMO, we're a living, breathing game. So after we launch, we'll just put out more classes and more races. It's something that if you look at our studio's track record with our other live games, like Star Trek Online has been live for 2 years, and they're getting content updates all the time. They're about to have a major release in July. Champions Online has been going for almost or maybe over 3 years now, and it's still getting content updates and different player classes and abilities and things like that. So we absolutely plan on supporting Neverwinter up to launch and then beyond, just continuing to release new content and new features and new classes, that sort of thing.
And I'll say this, I know a lot of people in the community are going to probably burn my house down, but the bottom line is I honestly think that that's the right model. Having dealt with, Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 work in obviously different product, but the sure. same concept is the fact that, there's people who make a lot of custom content, whether that's character classes, races, placeables, God only knows what. Okay. The problem you run into is you got a bunch of Wild Bill Hickoks out there building stuff, and then they overwrite each other's lines in the 2DA files, and then you got this big merging process that has to take place. It turns into a disaster. And plus there's no quality control to know whether something you download off the vault is going to work or not, and blah, 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 So people end up reinventing the wheel over and over again because they can't trust other people's content working or not. Mm-hmm. I think this is the right model, that's the way you're approaching it, because here you go. I'm going to be adding new classes. I'm going to be adding new content that everybody gets to use, but it's tried and true. It's official that nobody has to merge with their product. It's already there. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the right model of approach, because it simplifies matters greatly for custom content.
Saves a lot of time that you've spent.
Yeah, exactly.
So in terms of the feats and spells, are you planning on building out of the core PnP D&D version 4? Or, and again, this may be something we can't know yet, but can't blame us for trying, I guess.
This one, actually, we've been pretty open about. The answer is no. We are not specifically a 4th edition game. We are a D&D game. And so, we have some nomenclature that ties very heavily to it. Our use of at-wills and encounters and dailies as that namespace for our powers. But it's not like a literal translation of the 4th edition rule set. So you'll have things like Cleave as the Guardian Fighter's main at-will power. And, that's been in any D&D version I've played, let alone 4th edition. And what we've really set out to do is, you know, capture the essence of what that did in pen and paper. So, you know, that's usually like a three square swipe right in front of you. And so what it is in our game is, you know, a short range AOE, basically. And so you can hit three guys in front of you if they are lined up that way. So we're really trying to, with the source material, figure out what was that designer, what was that power supposed to do? What is it? What is its goal? And then translate that to work in the digital medium and really keep that evocative link there, but not necessarily burdened by, okay, now we have to figure out how that dice roll translate into a true action combat kind of scenario.
Cool.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's something that I think that, you know, that's the best way to handle it, especially with some of the stuff. We were just out at the Origins Game Fair in Columbus for our last episode, and one of the things that we sat in on, there was a conference with some of the guys from Wizards of the Coast were there talking about, actually the guys that were heading up the D&D 5.0 project. Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, I did a facepalm for you guys. Because I know that when we first talked to Shane, he was telling us it was 4.0, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, all them poor guys. Because you know? There's going to be like 1,000 questions if you specifically have tied it to 4, you know what I mean? They're going to be changed at 5. I was like, oh, God. You know?
Yeah, well, that's kind of, again, like our approach about accessibility. We don't want to, by specifically ascribing to a singular edition, you know, we're potentially alienating fans or particular haters of that one edition or not. But, you know, what we all have in common is we like D&D. We like these roles and these classes and these ideas. So let's just take that and make it be appropriate for our game, which is different than any of the editions, but still keep that core there. So that's kind of our approach on the powers.
Well, I guess the reason why we think that way is because games we're familiar with, they have tied specifically to D&D edition. Yeah. And I think that's it's a good thing to get that out there in this podcast, so other listeners who aren't aware of that it's not going to be that way necessarily. You know, I think it's really good because that just shows how flexible what you're designing is and how you don't want to alienate any, you know, you want to get as many people in loving the content as possible.
Yeah. And so this is something that, you know, we're not going rogue or anything on this. Like we talk to Wizards again, like I said, constantly. This is, you know, they're fully on board with it. They recognize that just pen and paper is an entirely different medium and it doesn't necessarily translate the best if you just do a one.
No. No, and I think, you know, and something I can say from our experience is anytime that people have tried to get too close to try to mimic pen and paper and electronic mediums, you know, just from custom content standpoint, even on our side, you know, it ends up being a big headache a lot of times because you're dealing with a game engine, you're dealing with specific mechanics that may not tie directly to, you know, something in a pen and paper, and then everybody gets it in their head that this is the way it's got to be, and, you know, you just run into a lot of trouble when you go down that road, at least from our experiences, you know. But yeah, I think that's great the way you're handling it. To finish out, in closing, is there anything at all that you'd love to mention or like to mention to the audience about Neverwinter that we haven't covered?
No, I mean, I think you guys had a wide, like, kind of the good spread of things that we can and cannot talk about. So, you know, I'd say it's super awesome that you guys still are going with the Neverwinter Nights and like you're so dutifully doing. Though we are not the Neverwinter Nights 3, we're still set in that world. We're still set in Faerun, in the city of Neverwinter. Like, if you're a big fan of the games from before, you have you might recognize places that we have, like the Moonstone Mask is a bar in our game, which I believe you went to in the second game. You know, the Neverwinter Woods is you always go there.
Right.
So though we are not Neverwinter Nights 3, we are a full-featured MMO. We're free to play. We still are living and breathing in that world, and I think it'll be really, really cool if you're a big fan of that space in the fantasy, in the greater fantasy world that us nerds live in. It'll be really cool to come in and check out Neverwinter.
Well, yeah, and absolutely. As you pointed out, absolutely, this is not Neverwinter Nights 3, and actually, I'm glad it isn't, you know, because, I mean, it's been there, done that, and I think that this new medium is exactly where I think that, you know, a product needs to go with the setting, the Neverwinter Faerun setting. I think that this is a great thing to really get the notoriety it deserves and the publicity it deserves, because I think in other publishers and franchises. I don't believe that it was ever given. I mean, it blew up because of the community, but so much so that, it's great now that it's getting the attention that it's getting.
Yeah. What I like about it is that when this is a great big hit, as I think it's going to be, the fact that you set it in Faerun allows you to just keep expanding through that entire realm.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that we get to, I've said it a few times now, but we geek out constantly about this, where we're like, oh, yeah, and then we'll get to go to Gondor, and then we'll go to Thay, oh, man, and then we'll do, all these crazy...
Oh, yeah. I mean, we do the same thing. We set ourselves in Forgotten Realms, too. I mean, we could easily done something like, cheesed ourselves out of Forgotten Realms, but we didn't, And it's just that we had that flexibility in our development, in our writing. I think that's huge.
Yep.
Absolutely huge. And like you said before, you have the support of Wizards of the Coast. You have the support of all the writers that are writing all this content that you're able to, build upon and electronic, in a medium. And I really think that that's going to be awesome. I think that the sky's the limit on what can be achieved here.
Yeah, we're very excited, and I mean, to hear that excitement coming through you guys too is real awesome for me, and I'll be sure to spread it to the teams.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, last thing is, very much appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us and, get this on the book, so to speak, and get the information out there to everybody. I know a lot of people in the community are looking at this product very closely, and they're looking at it like, hey, this is going to be great, or some people don't know it's going to be great. Yeah, they're stuck in what they've been used to for the last decade, literally. So, we're trying to, we want to make sure that everybody understands of, all the potential this game has, and certainly, the excitement that it deserves. I mean, I think that you guys have done a fantastic job, and we'll, the Neverwinter Nights podcast is really the Neverwinter podcast too, because we've certainly rebranded our site to be, very inclusive and aligned to the product, and we're going to be putting the news out there as it comes out, and being a mouthpiece to be able to help spread the word about all the great efforts that you guys are putting out there.
Yeah, that'd be great. And, keep in touch with, the people. I think you were talking with Tyler. As we release more about, the Foundry or any other features, I'll appreciate the half-hour break from my day every once in a while.
Absolutely. And, anytime you want to give us or can't, I understand you're in a corporate environment. I am, too, from my day job. But, you could feel free to, as you're able to, give us updates or anything you just want to say, hi, hey, what's up? I got a question or whatever. We're more than willing to talk, and that's what we're, from our experiences. So, I mean, we've got a lot, too, just not in the same medium, But
sure.
Same idea. We deal with almost 10,000 players in our 4 years, so and I kind of know what you're going to run into in a way or two. Like I said, give us any updates. Feel free to come back on the show anytime you want. Just drop us a line, and, we'll be happy to accommodate.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, anytime.
Thanks.
And before you go, you get the closing line.
Well, get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2012.
Hey everybody, this is Make It Home from Border Kingdoms. I'm part of the administration there. We're going to be launching on July 20th. I'm pretty sure these guys will put a link in here for me. There's going to be all sorts of new systems. Our death system's coming in.
script systems. We have a professional host of scripters, a dedicated server, and we've gone professional with nearly everything. This server's been in development for a long time. Be there. There's going to be a lot of events going on. It'd be great to have everybody there. Thanks.